Welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast, where it's all about solving the challenges of living with allergies so you can be more confident and stay allergy safe. Here's your host. She's an adrenaline pen carrying grown-up allergy kid, Nina Modak.
Hello and welcome to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast. Welcome to all my returning listeners and welcome if you're new to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode and check out all the back episodes. So, as you know, I have lots of different people who come on the podcast, and today I have a mother and daughter team, Elizabeth and Valerie, and I met them at the Allergy and Free From show in Liverpool, and Valerie came and joined in, drawing on our Allergy UN men and women, sharing her story, and also had a lovely talk with her mum, Elizabeth. Then Valerie started emailing me because she joined in and had a look at some of the recipes that I send out on the email list. And I was like, well, why don't I get these two lovely ladies on the podcast to talk to me about their journey? And they've had quite a journey, but wow, they've got some great ideas. And I've had a list already with all the different things that Valerie can eat and loves to eat. So we're going to hear all about that. So welcome, Elizabeth and Valerie. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So first up, can you tell me what you're allergic to? Because I know you both have need free from, but in different things.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I'll just start because mine is simpler. So I'm mostly just gluten intolerant and dairy intolerant. I don't have a true allergy in the sense that I can eat it, but I just don't feel well afterwards. Mm-hmm. So I've been gluten and dairy free the past 3 years at least. And I've seen it really help me with, I've lost about a stone and I've felt a lot better. And I just, yeah, I have more energy. I don't have that fogginess in my head when I don't eat. I have less mucus, etc. But anyway, my daughter though, Valerie, tell us what you're allergic to.
I'm allergic to a lot of things. some of the main ones are gluten, dairy, eggs, and nuts. Mm-hmm. And some of the minor things like raw carrots.
raw carrots.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, you're not the first person I've heard that's allergic to raw carrots.
Yeah, yeah. Beef and lamb as well.
Lamb and so.
Oh, okay. So yeah, that's quite a list. And I mean, how did you discover Valerie's allergies, Elizabeth?
So it started when she was about 3 months old. She was starting to break out in hives while she was breastfeeding. And I thought, oh my goodness, because of my history, I had I had 15 different foods that made me break out in hives. So, and I'd been able to get over those, but I knew that she had it in her genes, you know, to be reactive to things. And I was just hoping she wouldn't have what I had, but actually it was much, much more severe. So I started avoiding foods, knowing that the only thing she was eating was breast milk. But we ended up finding out through different elimination diets on my part that not only was she reacting to milk, she was reacting to wheat and eggs. And as I started trying different solid foods on her when she got to 6 months old, that was when her reaction more severe. So a lot more hives turned into a lot of eczema. That led us down the pediatrician, allergist, dermatologist route. We did all the different things that they told us to do. And I just knew there was something inside that wasn't right. So as much as we did do all the topical things for her skin, it did seem like there was a food connection, because as we started to give her a specific supplement, which I really think has helped her body inside, her skin started to heal, and then we were able to start gradually adding back in one food at a time to where over the years we've been able to add back in one new food on average a year. And she's now 12 and she can eat a lot more than she could before. So yeah, she's come a long way.
That's great. And Valerie, what's your favorite food at the moment?
That's hard.
Okay, give me top two.
Okay, I like soup.
Soup, okay, great.
My mum makes a lot of different soups.
Yeah, curried butternut squash soup love. Also soup with like swede and sweet potato and carrot. She can eat cooked carrot in soup, but not raw carrot. Ginger, you like ginger in soup?
Yeah.
We had some of that last night.
And I like... I like...
What about barbecue chicken wings?
I like a lot of other things. I like black beans and rice, too.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's been a favorite for a long time. Black turtle beans are... You buy them dried, and then we soak them, and I cook them. I've just found a pressure cooker is amazing. Cooks them super fast, and they taste even better. So everybody enjoyed that. Valerie likes to put... Tell them what you put on your black beans.
Salt, pepper, cumin.
Cumin, yeah.
And...
Dairy-free marge.
Yeah.
Yep.
And one time I put paprika in.
Yeah, paprika's nice too.
Yeah. That sounds great. That sounds really yummy. And then how did you... So you found out that Valerie was allergic to lots of these different foods. I mean, what happened then? Because I remember when we were talking, you had quite a difficult time with diagnosis and, you know, getting Valerie to where she is now.
Yes. Yeah, so the first thing we did, you know, we were trying to do it on our own only because when I took her to the doctors initially, they said she's just severely atopic. Now, atopic just means allergic. Now, that could be to anything. They said it could be dust mites. It could be. I mean, when we had the skin test for her, every single thing they tested came back positive as a reaction, which to me said, well, either she's extremely allergic or her skin was so sensitive that no matter what they'd put in her, she was going to react. So even the control reacted, you know, and I think that was discouraging in one sense. But in another sense, we knew, okay, there's something that's just really off balance inside. And I think the reason I also knew that, too, was we could see the reactions when she ate something. It wasn't just hives. Often her tummy would be really bloated. Mm-hmm. And as a baby, you know, when you see a really bloated tummy, you think, oh, they've got a lot of gas. Mm-hmm. But often for Valerie, it was much worse. It was diarrhea. So we ended up having a gastroenterologist diagnose her with just severely allergic and inability to digest protein, which meant we had to take her off all food. She was 12, 13 months at this point. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't remember it, thank God. But it was hard because she had just started to picking up things like peas and putting them in her mouth and enjoying eating certain little tiny things. But she was still itchy all the time, and we were putting her little sleeves together with pins so that she wouldn't scratch till she bled, and it was just really hard. And I remember thinking, okay, so they're putting her on this medical formula which is supposed to be nutritionally complete, but for some reason when we took her off the supplement I was giving her and just had her on that medical formula, she was even more bloated and more constipated, and she was lethargic, and I thought there's something not right. So we ended up tweaking it and putting our little nutritional supplement in with that powder, and it was a Neocate. It's called Neocate. They use it in the States, yeah, and in the UK, and it's for children who are severely allergic to everything from soy to dairy.
Yeah,
especially dairy, and you know, most of the infant formulas are dairy based. And I was really frustrated because at first I told, I think she's reacted to the dairy formula I gave her, and they said, no, that's not possible. Well, it was the kind of reaction that put her in the hospital. And it was an immediate, I mean, she had vomiting, she had the whole swelling up. So it was pretty serious. And they put her on a prednisone, oral prednisone, which is a steroid. But anyway, I think after that point, we knew something needed to happen pretty drastic. And so working with that medical formula, doing what the doctor said, but also doing a lot of research on my own. So I remember spending hours and hours, and I'm sure there are parents out there just trolling the and reading blog after blog and hearing what other people had been through and realizing I'm not alone. You know, there are other kids who are like this, and we just needed to find what would work for her, but also for my peace of mind, it helped to talk to some other parents, because when I talked to some other parents who said, don't give up and keep going until you find, you know, and when you're not happy with what a doctor says, sometimes you feel a bit like, maybe I'm a bad parent. I mean, they're the doctor. What do I know? But actually, you're the parent, and you feel empowered when you meet another parent who says, no, you're the mom. Trust your gut instinct. And the gut instinct was, she's not thriving on just this medical formula. She's not just going to be okay if we just go down the basic medical trail. But doing a combined thing and working with all kinds of different, you know, her diet, but also, you know, if we needed the topical stuff, we had to use it because you have to cope. You have to live with, you have to live. Yeah. You have to also be kind to yourself and realize this is not the end of the world, but it's also, it's not always going to be this way. And I really kept believing that she was going to get better. And she has. She's, I mean, you've met her. She's got completely clear skin today. She doesn't have any need for any regular medications. And she's a gymnast and an artist and full of life and energy. And people say, oh my gosh, you know, Valerie doesn't look like she has anything. She has all those allergies. How is she so healthy? And even dietitians have seen her and said, I'm not really sure how she's doing as well as she's doing. And they look at me and they're like, whatever you're doing, keep doing it because it's working.
Yeah.
So sorry, I'm rambling on, but
no, that's fine. Valerie, what do you think about all of this? Do you feel fit and healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sometimes it's hard because I don't like being different.
Yeah. That can be hard. And
yeah.
But you know what? And it's
yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, but you know what? Being different isn't always... It's harder when you're a kid, because I remember, I'm still remembered as the nut allergy kid. I had a friend when I was, I think I was 21 or 22, and we hadn't seen each other in about 15 to 20 years. And we met each other at a party, actually. And then she was like, oh, you're the girl with the nut allergy. And that's how she remembered me. So it wasn't that bad, because we were really good friends when we were like 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people I know who have allergies, they've created so many amazing things. Like, if I didn't have an allergy, I wouldn't be talking to you. I'd never have met you.
It's true.
And I know that there's actually, I know a few people who, some other kids, like grown-up allergy kids like me, they would never have started blogs, talking about their allergies, and they wouldn't have been as good a cook, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, baking gluten-free or baking, you know, allergy-free, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, egg-free, all that stuff, that is seriously a challenge. And yet when you do it, you feel so excited because this is something Valerie can eat. And she gets so happy because we've baked something and we've made, like, what did we do for Christmas last year? Remember the first time ever Valerie got to decorate Christmas cookies. In America, it's a big thing to make these butter cookies, butter sugar cookies that you can roll out and then cut into shapes. And until there were certain ingredients on the market, I could not make anything that could be rolled out and cut out because it would just fall apart or it'd be hard as a rock and it wouldn't stay nice. And so remember last Christmas was the first time. It was so fun.
No, it wasn't last Christmas. It was the Christmas before that.
Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
We took them to everyone, like the fire station.
Yeah, but last Christmas was the first year that we made cookies that you could have.
Yeah.
Do you remember? And we cut them out and we decorated them with frosting. And Valerie, it was just so fun. I got emotional because I was just like making cookies with my daughter. And it's something we couldn't even have dreamed of when she was little.
So did the cookies turn out well, Valerie? Did you eat them all?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Would have if I could.
She shared them with her brothers and her sister.
Yeah, I had to share them.
Yeah, I get like that too. I'm like, as soon as there's something I can eat, I'm just like, I don't want to share them.
That's a hard thing, actually, as a parent, when you make something that, you know, the ingredients might have cost four times as much, and then these other kids come in and they're like, yeah, I'll have six of those, and then they leave half of them uneaten. It's just like, oh, I should never have shared with you, child. I hoard it for my own so that they can eat it. But Valerie, Nina, you might want to put this in a different section, but one of the things that's a challenge for Valerie, why don't you share that?
It's hard when people have tried to make something special for me and then I don't want to tell them that I feel sick because I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Well, that is a tough one. And then, so what do you do? What do you do?
I just wait and then it's too late and then I feel really sick.
She goes ahead and eats it anyway, don't you?
Yeah. Or I just say, thanks.
No, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, that is a hard one. I think I've had that one before as well. Because I have a nut, really severe nut allergy, so nuts, don't get them anywhere near me because that'll send me to hospital. But gluten and dairy's a relatively new one for me. Cow's milk, goats and sheep is okay, but dairy is just, oh, I don't want to eat that one. I think it's when it's gluten, I get a really bad stomachache. And yeah, I think when I'm helping out my friends or when they've made it, I question them quite a lot about how they've made it. And I think I felt more bad when I was younger, but now, and actually doing the podcast and talking to people about it helps me because it kind of said, I mean, I'm running the blog and things, so I'm telling people you've got to ask and you've got to, you know, just push through and be confident even when you don't feel it. So that helps me be confident when I'm not feeling it. And I just ask lots of questions, and then I actually have more of a time when I'm with my grandma because she looks after my nut allergy. She's fine with that. But when it comes to gluten and dairy, that's quite new for her. And I've got an Indian heritage. So allergies aren't such a big thing. Having intolerances isn't a big thing. And whenever I see her, I don't want to put her out because she's 83. Since she loves to cook and look after me. So sometimes I'll eat it even if I don't feel so good. But I'll eat it once, then I don't feel so good, and then I actually just stop eating it after that. And then she'll ask me if I want it, and again, I'll be just like, oh no, something made me feel a bit funny. I'm not really sure. And I won't blame it on her. I'll just be like, I just won't have it next time because it's just too uncomfortable. Mm. Yeah, or I'll have a little bit and just say, oh, I'm not hungry.
Which is true, isn't it? But it's not, it's helping you not feel like you've had to put them out, and it's taking focus off of what they've done and just saying, you know, it's just me, I don't feel right.
Exactly.
It's easier to say no thank you to something when you don't feel right.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially even if you anticipate, I'm not going to feel right. It's easier to say, you know, actually, I'm fine. Thank you so much. And I think that's hard for Valerie. And it was hard for me as a 12, 13, 14 year old, because you're trying to make people, well.
And sometimes I say, I think something made me sick. And then they're like, oh, what can I give you? Can I give you anything else?
Right. They want to give you something else. They want to give you more food or a different drink or something. I've had enough. Really, I'm fine.
And, you know, how old are these people, Valerie? Are they people your age or are they adults?
Yeah, more adults.
Well, I find with adults, they want to help them fix things because they don't want to feel bad that you feel bad. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I find that even when someone's trying to be nice, I just thank them for being nice and for thinking of me. But I just say, I think the best thing is just to leave my stomach alone. I don't know.
That's the answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanking them for caring.
Yeah. They only do it because they care and they don't know what else to do but offer you something else.
Yeah, sometimes been offered piles and piles of fruit just because they don't have any other sweet or something else they can give her, and so she's like eating this huge bowl of it, and she doesn't want to eat all of it, but she feels she has to because they've gone to this special effort.
A couple nights ago, we sang, me and my choir sang in a care home, and then at the end they gave us cupcakes and drinks. And of course, I couldn't have the cupcakes, but we had done it last year. So this year, they were like, we have something else for you. And they just gave me this bowl of fruit. And I kind of felt a bit left out because everyone else was enjoying all these cupcakes.
Yeah, I've had that. I got served fruit for starter and fruit for dessert. I think it was my university graduation ball because I told them no nuts, no gluten. And then I looked at the dessert that everyone was having. I was like, you literally could have just taken the biscuit off the top. Yeah, it's a big problem, actually. I'm afraid it probably won't stop. Because people just don't understand. So sometimes, like, what I'll do is I'll take something in my bag if I know this is going to happen. Sometimes I'll take something in my bag, or I'll just expect this is going to happen. I'll eat a little bit and then I'll share it around if I don't want to eat, like, a huge bowl of fruit.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
And what other thing Valerie said is when she is feeling sick, you said when you're feeling bad, what's something that helps you? This might encourage some other kids out there. Because you are going to have reactions. You are going to have times where you don't feel well.
Yeah. I think telling myself that it could have been a lot worse and just saying I'm probably not going to get really ill just because I ate this tiny bit of almond milk thing.
And you're not going to stay that way.
Yeah.
So she was saying to me, she felt like it helps her to say this is going to pass. It's not always going to be this way. Like I feel better once it passes.
Yeah.
And just a quick question so that I can clarify for anyone listening. Does Valerie have non-IgE allergies?
So she has an EpiPen, and so her reactions, I get confused. What is non-IgE and what is IgE?
IgE is the one that could lead to anaphylaxis, the more severe, and then non-IgE generally doesn't lead to anaphylaxis.
So she has both.
Okay.
her IgE ones would be, as far as I know, the sesame, the dairy, the egg, and the wheat, which would explain why, even when it's in the air, if there's a lot of wheat flour in the air, Valerie's chest starts to get tight and she hasn't eaten anything, but she's definitely noticing some kind of reaction. So she has to go outside or leave that room.
Yeah.
But for her, she's also got the kind of reaction where if she does ingest something, if she doesn't throw up really soon after having, she can end up with needing to go to hospital. So we've only had a couple of times in her life where that's happened, where we've needed to go to hospital.
I remember when I went to hospital once and I was really weak. So Dad had to bring me home in a wheelchair because I was so weak.
Oh, no.
I've been in a wheelchair before. So I was like, whoa, this feels weird. And everything they've given me, like, applesauce and stuff in the hospital, I just kept going back up, so I'm like, nothing's gonna help.
Do you remember that reaction? Like, what happened? Can you tell me about it?
I think it was a long time ago, so I only remember a little bit, but okay. I had to stay in the hospital for several days, and I don't think I can remember exactly what it was. I think maybe mommy can, but
yeah.
It was really bad. They had to bring me to hospital, but finally I could go home.
And, like, how did you feel after the reaction? I mean, and how did you help make yourself feel better?
I thought that it was going to be okay, and, yeah, like what I told you before, and, I had a lot of stuff to do there, so I wasn't lonely or anything.
Yeah, so when you were taken, your dad wheeled you out on the wheelchair after your reaction.
Yeah.
So it's like, how did you feel about that? How did you start recovering? Did mom and dad help? Did they do anything?
They stayed with me a lot.
Yeah.
And, I think how I knew I was getting better was I was throwing up less.
Yeah.
And I felt better, like, each day. And then finally I felt, just as we were about to go to the hospital, I threw up one last time and then I felt fine.
Yeah, it's interesting. Valerie's had some episodes in her life. I don't know if there are other allergy kids who've experienced this, or allergy parents who've experienced this, but where for cycles, like 6 week cycles, she's had a time where she's thrown up and thrown up and thrown up and thrown up, and it's almost like her body's reached this point of toxin overload or something. I don't know, that's my own invention of that. I don't know if that's a true term, but nobody else has had it. It's not been a bug, it's not been the kind of a, but the doctors have always said, oh, it's just a bug. And I'm thinking, not when it's like clockwork like this. Do you know what I mean? Was for a period of time, and maybe it was a stressful time in her life. I mean, we were moving house quite a bit. There were a bunch of other unsettling things, but she had to get through it. And then it was like sometimes up to 3 days of not even able to keep much down. And she eventually gets over it, and then she's fine. But it's kind of scary when you're afraid of these times. And she had a really good run recently, but I've realized that sometimes the constant throwing up. It's almost like her diaphragm is not able to relax. And it's so tense that any movement, anything will just cause her to throw up again. So I've had to learn too, as a mom, to just touch her, hold her, be with her, instead of just leaving her on her own. Mm. My temptation, because I really struggle with throwing up, and to be like, tell me when you're fine, I'm going away. But that does not help at all. And it's actually probably made her worse sometimes, because she's just needed some reassurance. And I think we've done better recently, haven't we, Val?
Yeah.
Because she knows how to tell me better, I'm going to be fine. But also, I know that I just need to wait it out with her and get it out. Like,
yeah,
when she's having reaction to something, it's much better to stay with her till we've gotten rid of it. And then she's fine. She'll tell me, I'm fine, Mom. And I'm like, really? Because the whole last 2 or 3 hours have been pretty cool. And she's like, no, I'm really fine. And she afterwards. And I'm like, what? Sorry. Does that help? Or no? Is that good?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Valerie, it sounds like you're parenting your mum.
She sometimes does.
And
so, I'm the one who's more worried, or I'm the one who's more fearful, and she's telling me now, Mom, I'm really fine. Calm down. I'm really fine. The other day, I was all worried about her because we had this kids' party where they had all this flour in the air, and she was like, Mom, I'm really okay. And I was just really not happy about the fact that they didn't even seem to be bothered that kids were throwing flour up and Valerie was having to go outside to breathe. And I was like, this is not okay. But yeah. Valerie said, I actually still had fun, Mom, so don't worry. And she was fine once we got home. So
I guess that's the thing. You trust your body and then you just take precautions as you need to, and you kind of wait and see, because I guess that's a lot of the thing with allergies and allergic reactions. I know when I've had some near misses, sometimes I just wait and see what's going to happen and then deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Because when you get all worked up, it makes it worse, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Calming down is very important.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot about, I'm sure you've had this topic before, but there's a lot of the allergy issue that is related to fears, and being able to overcome those and say, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to eat what I know I can eat, and I'm not going to worry about what I can't.
And not worrying about missing out.
Yeah, not worrying about missing out. And realizing how much we have to be grateful for. Because most of the time, Valerie's totally fine. She just did a hooray sign for those of you who can't.
Hooray! So let's talk about a little bit about food, because I know you've got a positive story that you emailed me about the first time she ate French fries.
Yeah, that was really fun. So there's a restaurant in Chicago, outside of Chicago where we lived. And now obviously we don't live in Chicago, we live in Manchester, but we could not find anything on the menu that Valerie could have because it was full of all the ingredients that we knew she was allergic to. But then we knew she could eat potatoes. And then we found out that the oil was just sunflower oil. And we thought, maybe she's old enough to just taste a French fry. And she was like 3 at this point. I think she remembers it. The first time she had a French fry. And we gave her this tiny little nibble. And with her tiny little 3-year-old finger, she picked it up and gave it a lick and then a little bite. And we said, just a tiny bite. And she took a tiny bite. And then she took another tiny bite. And then she caught the whole French fry in her mouth and was just like, yum. She ate a whole packet of them. And it was just such a celebration for us as a family, because it was like, oh, wow, we can go to a restaurant. And it was McDonald's, I think, was the next one we tried. We were like, we can go to McDonald's and Valerie can eat fries.
My favorite thing to eat at McDonald's, because I can't have, like, the burgers and the chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
We just get some ham on the way, and then I roll the chips up in the ham and then dip it in ketchup, and it tastes really good.
That's such a good idea.
That's her fast food treat. So
yeah.
When everybody else is having a ham and burger, Valerie wraps ham around the French fries and dips it in ketchup, and it's a very nice protein-filled, calorie-filled snack.
I know it sounds, but it does taste good.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try that next time, because I don't eat any of I can't eat the buns or the anything else, so maybe I'll try that next time.
Yeah. And I think when you know there's a place that's safe to bring your own stuff, we've never had a problem in McDonald's with bringing in food, because they know you're there to spend money anyway. And mm-hmm. you have, you know, one child out of four, which we do, that has to bring in her own ham. It's nobody looks at you funny or says, oh, you're not allowed to eat that here, which we've had at other places, which really mm-hmm. annoys me.
Like, what? She has allergies.
I know. Have found that is a challenge when the places don't understand that even though they think they might have something gluten-free, that doesn't cover it, you know. Yeah. That doesn't mean that their food's gonna be safe for Valerie to eat. So we try and just be really friendly about it and spend money so that they know we're buying stuff anyway. Yeah. But we can't just not let her eat.
Yes, exactly. And then I know that you want to tell me another thing about ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
Go.
So sometimes, I remember one time we went camping, and on the little comic that I drew, there's an apple-flavoured ice lolly, and I got that idea from when we went camping and there was an ice cream van, and I think everyone else, all the campers were going to it and having ice creams, and I was like, please, please, can we get something? And we found out there was some apple ice lollies, so we just got some and we shared them out.
And I think it was a big deal for Valerie too, because in the past we'd always said, it's an ice cream van. You're not going to get anything in an ice cream van that yeah. is safe for you, because milk is her worst allergy. But then when you know that there are ice lollies, and once we knew that she could have all the ingredients in the ice lollies, now, you know, if we do want to give some custom to the ice cream van, we know there's something she can have, and it's obviously individually wrapped, so it's not going to be contaminated.
Usually. Sometimes. But yeah.
Yeah. Every once in a while, there's an ice lolly that the person says, oh, yeah, well, this is an ice lolly. Well, it could also be an ice lolly with milk.
So yeah.
Gotta check that.
Yeah. Always got to check.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, yes, and I've got your mum sent me a copy of the cartoon strip that I can include for everyone to see. So this, do you want to tell me a little bit about this cartoon strip and what you've drawn on it a little bit, so that people listening can be enticed to go and look at the picture?
It's basically like one of the problems that I sometimes have, like not missing out on things, and I really want to be like my friends, so sometimes it's hard, and sometimes I can have something that's there but maybe not exactly what they're having. So in the comic I illustrated like me and then two of my friends were having ice creams, and I'm like, where did you get the ice creams from? And then I go and ask if it has milk in, and it does. So, and then they have ice lollies, so I just get an ice lolly and yay!
She's really happy.
Aww. Yeah. And
that little illustration is important to Valerie, because I think when you know that you can't have exactly the same thing everybody else is having, but you can have something that is cold and is, you know, sweet. Nice and sweet, yeah, then you feel proud of yourself and happy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love that you've done a cartoon strip, and I'm so happy you're letting me share this with everyone, because, you know, I haven't seen any other cartoon strips done, so I'm really excited for everyone to see it, because there are so many parents who listen to this, and there are parents who go on the blog, and I'm trying to get more kids to do some stuff, so that, because mm-hmm. sometimes you don't always know someone who's got an allergy, and I think it's quite nice when you have an allergy friend, especially when you're, you know, 12 or, ooh, I see another drawing.
Valerie's really into drawing, so if you want her to do any more cartoon strips,
yeah,
just tell
I
her.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, cool. Yeah, see, all of you listening, you can't see this, but yeah, Elizabeth's just showing me some more little sketches that Valerie's doing, so maybe you'll see some more cartoons on the blog from Valerie, maybe if she'd feel like it.
So yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Cool. I think it would be neat to have a themed comic, because it would give Valerie an outlet to just kind of explore some of these things. But also, she loves to draw comics. So
amazing. That's good, because I can't draw. So this is great. So if anyone has any pardon?
Valerie says
anyone can draw, just not exactly the same as everyone else.
Okay, well, maybe you need to teach me. So yeah, if anybody's got any ideas who's listening to this, maybe you can write in and tell me something that you'd like Valerie to draw. Maybe I can give her some ideas that other people, and we'll see from there. Well, this is fun.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
And just before we wrap up, I know Valerie, you have a blog, because you were sharing your lovely post about the Allergy and Free From show. So tell me about your blog and where people can find it.
Well, I'm not sure how, if you could do a link to it, maybe.
I can do a link to it.
You can do a link to it, and people can visit the link.
Yeah.
I saw Mum's blog, and I was like, this is really cool. It's like an online diary. Mm. So I thought, I want to share my ideas and things. Mm. So I actually have three blogs, one about me, one about my pets, my gerbils, and one some cool random things that I found on the web.
Yeah.
I can send you the links to them, and then
that would be great.
And I think too that she saw that one of the ways that I've been able to explore sort of my journey too with her is through the blog that I started years back. I mean, I haven't recently posted, but if anybody wants to hear like the detailed version of Valerie's story, it's on there. And we called it My Life is True, because when Valerie was three or four.
I remember when we were at grandma's house, and it was when grandma had that big garden. I just ran into it.
And it was sunny.
And then I just came back in and said, my life is true!
And then, of course, the next day when it was raining, she came back in and said, my life is not true. So my life is true for Valerie became a little phrase we use when, you know, is your life true, Val? You know, and eating French fries or eating her first ice cream cone, when we found cones that were gluten-free, dairy-free, egg-free, and we could make a ice cream cone for Valerie.
Yeah.
That was, she said, my life is true, because it's so special. You don't have to eat with a spoon. You could actually eat it like normal people.
That is so true.
I would encourage any parents out there, you know, keep always looking for what's going to, you know, benefit you and your child, because although doctors say, you know, what they're trained to say, which is this is the way life is, we've found in our journey that they're trained in medicine. They're not trained in nutrition, and so they're limited in that. And so we get to be our kids' dietitians. We get to go to, you know, research and find what is going to help them grow and thrive. And we've found a lot of help through that.
Amazing. And then the last question I'm going to ask are, what are your three top tips for other allergy parents or allergy kids for helping them grow in confidence and manage their allergies?
Don't be afraid to try things. So if something's new for you, like if there's something that you're not sure if you can have it or not, then don't be afraid to try it. And if you get ill from it, then you just say, okay, I've tried it and I'm not allowed it, and maybe in a couple of years I'll try again and maybe I can have it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you said it earlier, so that would be one. So don't be afraid to try things. And you said also, it could always be a lot worse, right?
Yeah.
So be thankful. I think the second tip would be thankful for what you have and how you've been made. To never feel like there's something wrong with you in the sense of you've done something wrong or somebody's messed up. Mm-hmm. You're beautifully and wonderfully created. We believe God's made you that way. The third tip would be in your journey, you know, always keep looking for what for what helps. So for us, we found help with everything from chiropractors and naturopaths to craniosacral therapy. We've had some of that done on Valerie. That's really helped her, and to supplements. So the supplements we found are important because she needs calcium, you know, that she's not getting from other foods. She needs the extra vitamin D and stuff. And yet, once you find what works, you know, be confident and thankful that you've got that, because we have stuff in our toolbox now, you know. So it is sometimes a battle because you're kind of going against the flow, but never be afraid to go against the flow.
Absolutely. That's so true. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And for everyone listening, I will have all the links to blogs and comic strips all on the show notes. So thank you again, Elizabeth and Valerie.
Thanks for having us.
Bye.
So that was Valerie and Elizabeth, and what a wonderful episode. I mean, whenever I edit these episodes and I re-listen to them, I always find it really inspiring to hear what people have to say. And I love doing the three top tips from everyone. And I just love these, like, don't be afraid to try, because it's true. I mean, allergies can be stressful and they can really feel like you can't do anything. But sometimes you just have to figure out how to deal with the anxiety and try things safely. Don't let it impact other areas of your life that have nothing to do with allergies. And be thankful for who you are and never feel like you've done anything wrong, because you haven't. Like, allergies are just something that some of us get. And always keep looking for what helps, which might be avoiding certain foods. It might be, you know, just taking time out on occasion, because it can get stressful. So sometimes you just need some time to collect yourself again. And that's totally okay. And you just need to look after yourself. I mean, and I think it was one of our other guests said, you know, you've got to be your own best friend. And that's exactly right. Now, I am always looking for people who want to come on the podcast. And I think it's so special when it's you coming on the podcast, people who are part of the Allergy Safe community, like Elizabeth and Valerie, some of my other guests, like Felicia Sarbartinelli, who came and talked about having oral allergy syndrome and being basically finding out in her 20s that she was allergic to so many different foods. I've also had, I've had so many guests actually since, now that I can't even list them all. But if you want to check them out, go just search listener stories on the website on eatallergysafe.com and they'll come up. But do you have a story? I want to know about your allergy challenges and how you found the silver lining, how you've grown and faced those challenges, and what you've learned. Get in touch with me through the eatallergysafe.com website. Go to the contact page and send me an email. Tell me a little bit about yourself, your journey, and what you've learned. And because I'd love to get your story on the podcast so that you can help others, so that you can share, you know, and celebrate about your allergy journey and how far you've come. Because as we've all said in loads of these episodes, if you're a regular listener, allergy wins are so important to celebrate, because it can be really hard. And it's about celebrating those little things that really help us keep going. So have you got a story to tell? Do you know someone with a story to tell? Email me through eatallergysafe.com, go to the contact page and send me an email from there. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your story. So that's it for today. Over the next few weeks, actually, I am going to be traveling a lot. So I'm going to start doing some travel posts up on the blog, as well as, you know, how you can be safe on Valentine's Day. I know it's a bit early. We're a month away. But because I'm traveling, I'm not going to be in one place longer than 2 weeks for the next 2 months, which is a bit, I'm going to be living out of a suitcase, which is a bit insane. And I was telling my dad about it earlier this morning, and he just laughed. He thought it was quite funny and very modern. So yes, it is modern. And I have food allergies. So I'm going to do a bit more recording. You'll hear more about my travels on the blog, and I'll tell you a little bit about it over the next few weeks on the podcast, potentially. Although I'm scheduling them, so I might have to do a podcast episode all on them. So that's it for today. Thank you for joining me. If you've got a story, please get in touch. Please get in touch. on the eataligysafe.com website, go to the contact page and send me an email directly and I will get back to you. I can't wait to hear from you and hear all about your allergy wins and allergy story and get them on the podcast. So yes, that is actually it for today. I will be speaking to you next week. I have some fantastic episodes, and actually next week's episode is a listener story. So don't forget that allergies aren't about missing out. They're about doing things differently. Bye-bye for now.
You have been listening to the Eat Allergy Safe podcast by Nina Modak. If you want to help other people with allergies discover this podcast, then please rate it in iTunes. It only takes a few seconds. Your rating could make the crucial difference in letting a fellow allergy sufferer find out that they're not alone and help is available. Thank you.